Okay, well, let's start with any burning questions that you'd like to get into. Otherwise, I have other material, but I think there's some questions out there. So let's go with those first.
I have a question.
Yeah, Mui.
Actually, I have two questions. Is that allowed?
You have two questions. Well, let's start with
Two
the first one and we'll
questions.
see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Question is the number one is okay. So, feeling like the more one can get into service and put oneself into service of others, then the less one seems to be in the way, which is great. But there is also think, okay, I may be answering my own question here. So here we go. Is this a capacity thing? Because sometimes it seems like serving others is great, and yet there needs to be time for between, like, just for you and Allah as well. But it seems like sometimes maybe I haven't quite formed the question yet. I guess it's about about that balance, I suppose, and that line, and how do you figure out? I may just need to stick with that for a little bit longer because I don't think I have a proper question.
Okay, actually, I can address that because, Salaam alaikum, Yasmin. I think Al-Amin and I were talking about this earlier this week about balance and the idea of a time to do what needs to be done and put yourself out there, do your work, do your job, or interact with people and use that time as a practice for getting out of the way. And then there's the time that you need to assess how you're doing. Or, and another way to think of it is to go back into your heart and check in with Allah and go, is there anything you need me to do? Am I doing this properly? Is this the way you want things to go? I think being able to go outwardly and inwardly in a balanced way is really important and difficult to achieve because we're easily sidetracked. We can get distracted. Oh yeah, I remember I was talking about this with Suleiman, that there's a really good nafs called I'm Too Busy. And it's a fantastic nafs. It's really tricky because it always has a great rationalization of why you should listen to it. I can't do what you need me to do. I can't check in. I don't have time. I'm busy.
Well, there's always something else to do, isn't there? This is the thing. And
That's it.
there's always someone else to help. I think that's the hard part for me. And not so much for the to-do list. It's the fear of letting people down, and the fear that am I doing enough? Am I serving Allah enough, for others? Does that make sense? Like putting.
Well, what you're describing in that first one is an exterior or an orientation or being propelled by exterior forces. That
Yeah,
which is
because
different.
Allah's agenda is not always necessarily going to be external service for people. So it's again, then you're talking about staying present enough to know when it's time for that and when it's time for the inner stuff and how and trusting that maybe there will be time for that. Maybe this is the tricky part for me at the moment, is trusting enough that that time will be there, because sometimes it seems like it can't be created. It seems like there's just no space for it. When you know, with family and work and stuff, and it's like, but then I have been noticing that these little blips come up where there is a quiet moment or a quiet time, but it's less about, you know, taking half a day to process everything for the last 3 months, and more about taking 5 minutes every half an hour to process what just happened, so that it doesn't build up. And more of a rhythm thing, I think, because the giant blocks of time don't come anymore. But
That's right.
yeah, I guess it's more just being aware of, and not you know, squandering those moments and not getting over much into the achievement to ta task list and being present still.
Yeah, I think if you're going to plan it, I think you, well, let me just start from the beginning. Your first relationship, the primary relationship, is with you and Allah. Everything
Yes.
comes next. You know, it comes in a hierarchical order. But the first
Allah
thing
and the
is,
heart have to be okay first.
that's right. Otherwise, you're doing it for other people, you're doing it for
Yeah.
something else, which means you've messed with the intention.
Yeah. But
So
then, sorry.
my suggestion is maybe every hour, a couple minutes to go in. I know it's tricky, but you were mentioning a half hour. To me, in an hour, and even your little iPhone watch, the watch thing does a little thing every hour. So,
Yeah,
you can
it's
set
not
it to
hard to
do
put a little
that.
timer on. Yeah. But
Yeah,
it's
so
more,
you,
yeah.
So putting that first and going, if I'm okay with Allah and Allah knows what's going on with me, I'm okay jumping in and just doing what needs to be done, but then I need to jump back out and check in. If you don't, then busy nafs kick in.
Yeah. Yeah, I've noticed that. I mean, I was gardening, doing really well with the gardening, and then I remember I felt the moment where it turned into, I've got to get this finished rather than I'm doing this with Allah, and then that's the moment where I cut my thumb with the shears.
Hello.
Like, ah, okay, thank you. But just the thing about that is I suppose. And this may be just personal for me, or it might relate to other people, I don't know. That there's a history for me of going the opposite way, of being so focused on the inner that stuff gets missed or stuff does not get done that needs to be done, and it affects other people. So getting to this stage of life now where I'm focusing more the other way, it's easy for me to overdo because I was traditionally underdoing, if that makes sense. My natural inclination is not to go out there and do all the stuff that needs to get done.
Okay,
But now I wonder whether I'm starting to overcompensate a little bit, if that makes sense.
I just saw a little thing on three. It was on Facebook, one of those, or Twitter or something. Three things you should know about ADHD. And
Oh,
what?
yes.
Yeah, and she was saying, once somebody is focused on something, they're not going to break, unless, for example, they take their shoes off and then everything's done. That's it's day's over. So
Yeah, it's the on, it's the completely on or completely off problem.
exactly. And I think a lot of us have aspects of that as well. So I think understanding that we do, and we each have strengths and weaknesses, and we have certain ways that we focus and carry out our duties and responsibilities, and then there's the nafs that tweak them in an unhealthy way. So just being aware of what distracts you and what keeps you balanced, and this and it's trying to achieve, it's like you're flying a plane and you want to keep you don't want the nose to go down or up, and you don't want to go sideways. You just want to stay on course, and you have to adjust for that as you're flying. And sometimes you have to check your instruments. Sometimes you just have to look outside and see, am I heading into the rain here? So the idea of taking a continuous check of your environment, your sensors, your instruments, your inner guide, and your navigation. And oh yeah, this is what we were talking about with Al-Amin. Imagine that what you've got here is you've got a boat. You are the boat, and you can set your, well, you can just leave everything to roll as it will, and you'll just kind of, wander the great ocean, not ever getting anywhere. The thing is like when you set a law as this is my navigator and this is my compass, then you'll be able to get somewhere and know where you're going. How you get there, that's up to Allah. But the idea is like you're the navigator. You're in charge of the boat. Nobody else is. And people may say, oh, you could, there's a nice harbor over here, and you ought to check out the city here. But you, it's your choice. It's where you want to go and how you want to get there. So we have the breath of Allah filling the sails if we stay on course and deal with the storms as they come up. If we don't keep an eye on the compass, we can end up anywhere.
Exactly. I think that's exactly what I don't feel like I've lost sight of the compass, but I've been looking, going, okay, this is all very nice. Stuff's getting done. That's good. Maybe even a bit different. And yet, we don't want to lose sight of this, the pole star. It's a,
Yeah.
it's just a, it's just a, it, the, at this point, it's just a concern rather than an actuality. I don't feel like it's happening, but it seems, I can see how it could happen.
Yeah. Ollie, something you want to add?
Yes, I'm just thinking the I am too busy enough, so it's very interesting because it could also include I'm too busy doing my spiritual work. I'm too busy doing my practices. No, because in some spiritual paths, maybe all of, I don't know, most of them, the idea of service comes at the very end. First, the seeker goes through the journey and through the process. And when they achieve the goal, whether it's union with Allah or whatever, or enlightenment, then they start to serve. So we always have this idea that we are not ready yet. I'm not good enough. Who am I to serve? How can I help others unless I solve my own problems first?
And what do you think about that?
Now I'm thinking that doesn't really matter because a service could be very simple. It could be a very simple act. You don't have to be perfect. But as long, like you were saying before, as long as you have the right intention and the right connection with Allah. So as long as the connection is there and the intention is pure, then we don't have to be perfect. You just do what you need to do.
Very good. It's a, like we keep saying, it's a practice. You have to try to do this every day. The idea of getting out of the way through service to others is part of the practice. What that does is you don't start and end your day thinking about yourself. You think, how can this one be of benefit? How can this one make the world a better place? What is needed in this moment here and now? And you look around and there's much to do. The thing is, learning how to listen to your heart is what we learn when we think about Latif. It's a subtle thing. It's not broadcast. It's something that's very quiet. It's known as the still, quiet voice of Allah. And it doesn't demand. And the idea that we're trying to do is to get synchronous with that, with what the heart wants and with what we want, and to make them the same. And we do that through surrender. And surrender is listening to the heart and going, oh, you want me to put that shirt on? Okay. And not going, no, I don't like that. I want the green shirt. And the heart, it's not going to argue with you. It's going to go, okay, you do what you want to do. So by doing what the heart wants, this brings us in synchronous connection with Allah. And when we are in, when connected with Allah, our heart is going, oh, this is what peace feels like. This is fulfillment. Now I feel like I have purpose because this is what Allah wants and this is what I want. Allah's happy. I'm happy. It's a good thing. It's not always going to be like that, but that's what we try to, you know, achieve. And that's why it's a practice. And we each have our own suluk, our own path that we have to follow, and have our own nefs and our own problems, and learning how to deal with those, because that is our lesson. Yes, Sonny, you have a comment. Yes?
Well, to be honest, all the questions everybody's asking is what I thought I will be asking. So you're answering my questions, yeah.
Okay. So the idea of learning how to listen to the heart is, like I say, it's a subtle thing. And one of the ways that you can realign with that is when you first wake up in the morning. When you first wake up, you and your heart are still together. You've been through some dreams, you've rested, you've reactivated your body, your mind, everything's back to nominal again. And this is the time to be connecting with your heart and to say, hello, heart, how are you today? Is there anything special you want to do today? And developing this relationship with your heart and learning how to talk with your heart, but then the harder part is learning how to listen to the heart. And what it has to say is usually what you don't expect. And in that case, you try and practice non-expectation, that you don't have an expectation of what the heart wants. because you don't know. It's coming directly from Allah, and it's Allah's world, it's Allah's time, it's Allah's life, it's Allah's universe, and we are the franchise that has been put here for the time being. Does that make sense? Questions? Yes. Question? Mui, did we answer your question?
Yes, I think you answered that one. And it just almost goes straight into the other one, which is there are some times where you're on a path, say you've made like a commitment regarding work or, you know, other things, and that set you on a certain path. And you think your heart's on board with it, but sometimes it seems like your heart, most of the time, it seems like your heart's on board with it. And then other times there seems to be some doubt. And just personally, I'm finding it very difficult to distinguish what part of the whole schmozzle is doing the doubting. You know, is this a heart message going, do you want to have a look at this? This might be worth having a look at. Might need to reevaluate this. Or is it my naps going, you know, you know, or don't like it anymore, you know. It's sometimes I find it really difficult to distinguish that particular one. Maybe it's just a matter of not having sat with it for long enough to discern it. It just seems like, at least for me, nothing ever seems to be 100% certain all the time. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that means that you know, I'm constantly reevaluating and making sure that things are on the right track. But
okay, I have a question about your question.
Hey,
when you talk about doubt, is there a Catholic inference in here that I'm detecting? Like I shouldn't doubt?
No. It's more just that I find it a bit unsettling because you make a choice based on it, and you make a commitment. You can't make commitments for, you know, half weeks sometimes. You know, like, you know, you have to accept a whole year contract at work, for example, or you have to, you know, make a commitment to send your kid to a particular school. Or you have to, you know, those sort of things. And then, you know, say a quarter of the way through the year or halfway through the year or something, or halfway through the 3 years that you've agreed to for something, you start kind of wondering, oh, is this really the right way to go?
What's wrong with that?
I suppose I find it undermines my motivation and conviction in what I'm doing. It makes it difficult to stick to something when you're always concerned about whether it's right or not.
Okay, I'm going to open this up to everybody else because I'd like to get some feedback about this. To me, that just seems normal. You know, if you don't do that, then something's wrong, because then what are you, a true believer or something? No. What does that mean?
It's so, okay.
Open to other people's view.
Sorry, can you repeat the question just one more time?
Oh, just, you know, finding that I'm sometimes doubting a commitment I've made, whether it was the right choice, and then is that something that is coming from my heart or my naps, or does it matter? Is it important? But it seems to sometimes undermine my confidence or my conviction in what I'm doing, my motivation.
to me in the idea of we are data gathering mechanisms trying to learn how to survive better, that taking time to check out whether it's working or not, to me is just part of the evaluation process. And in an empirical, scientific way, you have to ask, is this experiment going along the ways that I expected, or what am I learning from this? That's just my view.
See, I would have thought that, putting aside analysis and evaluation and data, right, because that's all mind stuff, from my point of view, it's, life is about, you've just got to get on with it. You've got to do, you've got to, you make mistakes, you learn from your mistakes, but there are certain things that we learn. Like if we start something new or we start every day, we say Bismillah in the name of God, so surely those sort of things, those words of just remembrance makes a big difference. I think there is a danger of overanalyzing. Am I doing this right? Is this correct? Is it not correct? Isn't that part of life? If we were so perfect, why are we on earth?
John, to ask you for some clarification, do you find that you're feeling this way when the decision you've made, you're like in the middle of it and things are starting to get very tough? Like it's turning out to be whatever this thing is turning out to be a lot more work than you anticipated, for instance?
Yeah, I think you're hit the money right in the head. It's at that point where you start, reevaluating, isn't it? Because that's when it starts costing you, and you wonder whether it's worth the cost.
But then don't
Yes.
you change a pathway?
What's that?
If it's not working, don't you change a path, the path?
Yeah, but there's always a cost to the change as well.
Of course, but
Yeah.
either way there's a cost. So which, whether you stay with your decision or you move, so you're not going to know which is the happier path unless you take that chance and just trust that that's the right thing to do. And it doesn't always work out, Marie.
No, but some things are big decisions and some of them are irreversible, so you do have to be careful.
Absolutely. I mean, there's matters of life and death, really, in some instances. Yes, they are very big decisions, and it affects a lot of other people. It's not just
Yeah,
you.
that's right.
Oh, I understand that. Anyway.
I won't go into more detail at this point because that would be inappropriate. But yeah, it's just interesting to see. I think that was a really good insight in both of them, where that you're never going to get it perfect is good. That's true, and that also perhaps it's a reaction to when things get real, so to speak. That it's that's when the temptation to cut and run comes up. But sometimes cutting and running is actually the right thing to do. So that's why it's tricky. Yeah.
So there's another question I ask sometimes when I experience it, that is, am I growing in a good way? If I'm not growing in a good way, if I'm growing like, kind of off and it feels really unbalanced, I'll really take a look at it very closely, and then kind of fast forward imagining, if this goes on like this, what will the end result be? What's the most likely, how's this going to end? And if I don't know, then I'll go, okay, so there's a lot of possibilities here. But if the end, if I do the imagining and it always comes out badly, it's kind of like, that's probably not a good way to go.
That's a good point too.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm going through right now, Sheikh. I'm in the process of changing jobs again. So, and yes, it's precisely because of that. I didn't feel like I was growing in the right way. There is growth in learning, but it's not really good for my future. So yeah, personally, I think it's good, Mohi, that to keep thinking and reevaluating, and it's a healthy attitude.
I think there is a nafs associated with doubt that you can get caught in.
Fear, I suppose, is what I can get concerned about. You know, is this, you know, like Ali was saying, is it just a reaction to difficulty? Is it a fear reaction to difficulty or complication? And, or is it a, you know, how objective is it?
Yeah, because there's going to be a reaction if you're growing, and and it's hard to grow. It takes a lot That's of right. effort and pain. And looking into it and going, is this pain okay? Is this
is it
worth
good pain?
It? Yeah. It's a good pain, yeah.
Yeah.
Like having children.
Exactly.
15, somebody was asking, good comedy. 10 to 12 years of receiving love.
That's what you call it, isn't it? Yeah, receiving love. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In an interesting form. Yes.
And then another 10 years of rejection, embarrassment,
that's going to be fun.
Disgust.
And
then back to receiving love, depending on how much you give them money. So, so it's interesting. I think also discussing it with others and kind of like putting it out there, making sure that you're not getting wound up inside your head as kind of like, but to, you know, consider different ways of approaching how to look at it in different formats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, doing pros and cons, doing, you know, what's the final game look like? Where do I get out of it? What do we get out of it? What am I learning is also a really important question. Am I learning what I need to learn? Because learning is hard and learning is painful and it means change. And as human beings, we have a problem with that. We don't like change, and we don't like it when other people change, and people don't like it when we change. Yeah, it's a weird world.
But Jake, with change and with obstacles, with changing paths, I mean, whilst I don't mean to sound fatalistic, I think sometimes those are the lessons that come from above. You know, you keep learning them again and again and again. I mean, you just have to look at a child's life sometimes, what they're born with, what they go through in their childhood, how they grow up, you know, how they become adults, right? That is a continuum in their lives unless they themselves have the strength to actually change that or have the guidance of somebody holding their hands and changing that. And I think in many ways, if we're in a situation where we can make those changes or we can think differently, then I think there's a lot to be grateful for, because there's so many people who, you know, life is pretty shit. But, you know, can we actually control that? Because I feel that we're all born to learn certain lessons, you know. I mean, I always say I was born to be a nomad, you know, because I've never been you know, really in a home, you know, like family home. I mean, I've got family, but we were always traveling. So there was no sort of stability, you know. So I might sort of just had my little backpack or a rucksack or whatever you call it and just started walking, you know. That's just how life was. And I think sometimes until we can learn that lesson or we can see it, it keeps repeating itself again and again and again. Anyway, that's just a point of view.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, and I think it helps to ask our heart, is this what you want? It's a simple question, but like I say, that's only half of it. The other half is listening for the answer without expectations. Because the
answer...
Sorry?
I said we learn that in life as well, not to have expectations.
Inshallah.
Because when you have expectations, you know, things just fall down in a big heap. If you don't expect anything, you might get a nice surprise.
Yes.
I know, or, it's simplistic, but anyway.
Mm-hmm. Or a learning experience.
Indeed.
Alameen, anything you want to add here?
Sorry, Sheikh, I was on mute. No, I'm fine for the moment, Sheikh.
Okay. All right. I'll leave it there. Just as a kind of overview, the idea of getting out of the way means, as a practice, to not be self-centered and to keep thinking about others and how you can be of service to others by considering what is needed in this moment. And to do that, you need to put away your expectations and be able to listen to the heart, the still small voice, and to learn to say yes to it and to find out where that takes you. And thinking empirically, you know, as an experiment, what happens if you were to follow your heart for several hours? Where would that take you? Sometimes it's a very different experience to be with your heart for longer than 5 minutes. That's one of the reasons why we do Zikr, but it's also a way to live, to find a way to follow your heart and listen and then be surrendered to that and go, yes, okay, I'll walk down the street, as you say. And stop here, pet the dog, yes, okay, continue on in, and just feeling, I don't know the words for it, feeling connected with your heart for as long as you can. And what you get from that is fulfillment, purpose, peace, joy, happiness, health, and a sense of humor, because things become a little lighter because you're seeing them through light, the light of Allah. Anything else you want to say here? All good? A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Rahman Rahim, Maliki Yomedin, Yakana Budua Yakana Stain, Idina Sarata Mustakim, Sarata Ladzina Lamta Lechim, Yairil Maktubi Lechim, Waladolin. Amin. Salam Alaikum, Ratla Barakatuhu. and happy holidays. Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, Sheikh.
Thank you, Sheikh. Assalamu
alaikum. Bye.
The Sheikh, no more.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Bye.
Sorry, Yasmin?
No more zikr till next year.
That's right. And I think we're having our barbecue the 8th, and everybody's invited.
Yeah, I won't be here. You know that.
Oh, okay.
I'll hopefully be in Western Australia.
Right. Okay, so that's the barbecue, though, is the 8th. Yeah, whoever can make it, come on up. Alameen, Sonny, come on by. Robert, get your wings out.
Alameen, I'll be in Melbourne if you're up for a coffee. Oh,
all right, yeah, let me know if yes. I'll try and connect up.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Are you available? Are you available, Sheikh, in the next 2 weeks for questions? Or
yeah, sure.
Okay.
Of course.
Thank you.
You're
bye,
welcome.
Everyone.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye. Good to see you.
Bye.
Salaam alaikum, Marids, seekers, curious, and interested listeners. We appreciate you and are happy to share our Sufi message. Your donation will help support our Sufi center in Sydney, where we do zikr, sobat, spiritual counseling, and healing services. We believe the message should be free, but it costs equipment, rental, services, software, and hardware to get this to you. So thank you for choosing our podcast among all the millions available. If you go to our website, AnsariSufiOrder.org, you will be able to donate through PayPal whatever you think this information is worth to you. Blessings and love, the Australian Ansari Sufi Order.